Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a series of programs on the subject of the will of God. This program is the third program in the series. In the previous program, I introduced the idea that there is an inheritance that we have received in Christ Jesus, and that this was foreshadowed in the law of Moses through the establishment of the nation of Israel. When God established the nation of Israel, he gave them the promised land. And when he gave them the promised land, he referred to it as an inheritance that they would receive. Now, the importance of this is that they needed to have the land, to have a place to be, and to have the resources of the land so that they could build lives for themselves and so that they could build the life of the nation as a whole, first of themselves individually, and then the collection of individuals would build the life of the entire community, the nation of Israel as a whole. And it was necessary for them to have a place to do this and to have the resources of the land to accomplish this. And so the foreshadowing of the law, or the foreshadowing of the old covenant, is based on the giving of the land as an inheritance. But there is a reality to this, and the reality is what is presented through the new covenant, that we who are in Christ Jesus have also received an inheritance, but the inheritance that we have received is an inheritance in the Spirit. It is not a physical inheritance like the nation of Israel received. We receive a spiritual inheritance. And just as the nation of Israel needed the physical inheritance in order to build their lives, so also we are able to make use of the spiritual inheritance that we have received in order to build our lives, the life in Christ, the life in Christ Jesus. This is the foreshadowing of the law and the reality in the new covenant, and this is what I was explaining in the previous program. Now, what's important to understand about this is that we have a spiritual inheritance, an inheritance of the Spirit, and that our lives are going to be built from the inside of our spirit in our soul. And this can very well be manifested within and through our physical life, within and through our physical person. But that this is fundamentally a reality of the heart of a person. And we are able to build our lives within the core of our being, regardless of what is going on in our flesh. And this is an advantage that we have being believers in the world, is that regardless of where we are located, or regardless of the times that we live in, regardless of what's going on, we can still build our spiritual lives and build our lives in Christ Jesus, no matter what our physical state is in. With the nation of Israel, they couldn't do that. In order to do what the Lord told them to do in accordance with the law and live as he directed, they needed to have the land there in Israel in order to accomplish that. Even though the Jewish people were able to survive and sustain their identity over the centuries, and now they have returned to the land of Israel, they still haven't quite restructured their lives and the country to the extent that is required in the Mosaic Law, and so they still do have a deviation. But in order to do all that God has said and all that God has commanded, it is necessary for them to be there in the land. For us, we do not need the land. This is what makes the gospel, the restoration of the Holy Spirit, important, because it is for the entire world. The entire world can be saved. Anyone in the world, in any location in the world, can be saved. And this is best understood as an inheritance given that was foreshadowed by the inheritance of the law that has now been realized, and the reality is found in the inheritance as a believer, as a child of God in Christ Jesus. So this is what I was introducing in the previous program. Now, the word inheritance means different things to different people. I described it as the means by which a person builds life, but this is not the predominant view. This is not how people usually think of inheritance. I have found that in most cases, people think of inheritance as the means by which they can indulge their flesh more. And what I mean by that is that people are thinking about, when are they going to receive their inheritance from their parents when their parents die so that they can spend it, so that they can find a way to improve the quality of their lives by spending the inheritance that they receive. In general, that's how people think about it. They think about it as the means by which they can increase their consumption. Now, this does depend also on how far away they were from the generation that built the inheritance. In other words, there is normally a generation, a person, who builds the inheritance through their labor, and then there's a second generation, so I would call that the first generation, and then the second generation will be the first recipient of this wealth that was built. And this second generation does not normally think of this inheritance as something to just go out and spend. In general, the second generation will be thinking about, how do I preserve this inheritance as long as possible? How do I preserve it? They're not necessarily going to do anything with it, but instead they will look at it as a means of security, to increase their security in the event that they have not been able to build enough wealth for themselves personally. But they will look at it as a means of preservation, that they will try to keep it as long as possible. It's the third generation that, historically speaking, is the generation that will spend it, that will make sure that there probably is nothing left to go to the fourth generation. And then it will be the fourth generation that will probably have nothing to work with, and they will have to build their own lives and their own potential to give an inheritance to their children from themselves. This is just the general way of thinking about inheritance, and this, of course, is different for everyone, for all generations, but it's a general idea and a general rule of thumb, and the purpose for me explaining this is to help you understand that people don't normally think about an inheritance as something that they would use in order to build life. Another way to describe the differences that I'm trying to relate with regards to inheritance is that a person who would be worthy of receiving an inheritance is a person who would leave an inheritance that is greater than what they received. Again, a person who would be considered to be worthy of an inheritance, not in the sense that maybe they deserve it because of what they did or did not do while the person who was before them was alive. It's not about that. To be worthy is to be a person who would make use of it in a good way. And what I mean by a good way is that they are going to leave an inheritance to their descendants that is greater than what they received, that they will make use of it in order to increase wealth, not to consume wealth. Another way to understand this is if you were to consider the example of the nation of Israel, what would it be like, do you suppose, if God brought the people out of Egypt and he brought them into the promised land, and he did so with great miracles and incredible warfare, and he did this by assisting them and conquering their enemies, just as he asked them to do, and to remove them from the land because of their sin. And they take possession of the land, but then a few years later they decide to sell the land back to the prior inhabitants. They take the proceeds and go to Italy or Greece, you know, those areas, and decide to just live off of the proceeds from there for the rest of their lives. You know, maybe rent some nice villas or something and just spend it until it's gone. If the people who were slaves in Egypt were taken out of Egypt by the hand of God and given the promised land, and that's what they did with it, that is what people usually think of when it comes to the subject of inheritance today that I have found. that in general that would be a good representation or a good example of how people think of inheritance. But instead, the people of Israel were to take the promised land and they were to improve it. They were to build life there. They were to build increasing lives for the future generations of the nation. Not just find a way to sell all the land off and then just live off of the proceeds and so they wouldn't do any work or less work or something that looks kind of like that, in effect just consuming it, but to use it in a way that they would leave something greater to their children than what they themselves received. So that's a good way to understand some of the differences in terms of the point of view that people may have when it comes to the issues related to inheritance. Now, when it comes to inheritance in our own lives, spiritually speaking, we receive an inheritance in Christ. What we receive is not really given in the same context of what are we going to build with our own lives spiritually now, and how will that be given or transferred to future generations. This is a difference. We are not able to pass our faith onto our children. We're not able to do that. We cannot give our faith to someone else. Everyone else has to have their own faith for their own reasons. Everyone must make their own decision to believe in the living God. Everyone has to embrace the gospel for themselves. Everyone has to start out as a baby in Christ and grow and mature in the faith. While we can certainly assist them and contribute to their growth, we cannot give our faith to them as an inheritance. We're not able to do that. Instead, we are eternal beings who will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what we have in Christ right now will be taken with us. And what we build in terms of our lives now, from a spiritual point of view, will be taken with us. And how we grow and how we mature and how our own personal lives within our being is improved and grown and built, that will follow through and we will bring that with us into our new life that we will have once our flesh dies and our spirits enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a different kind of inheritance that we can individually receive from the living God, but we are not able to pass it on to someone else. Everyone else must receive this inheritance directly from Him. In the meantime, we take what He gives to us and we build our lives with it. And so one of the ways of understanding what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live in the new covenant, one of the ways of understanding this is to understand it from the perspective of receiving the inheritance that we have received and living with this inheritance, building our lives and living our lives with what we have. Now, this is compared to the other ways of life that people live. Normally, people will live either through the indulgence of the flesh or the restraint of their flesh. In other words, people will live without God or they will live with God. If they decide to live without their God, then they will just simply live for the indulgence of their flesh. But if they want to live with God and they want to be right with Him, then they will learn to live or they will find ways to live so that they restrain their flesh. And this is the description of living without religion or living with religion. The life in religion is a life of restraining the flesh. But either way, you're still living by the flesh, either through the indulgence or the restraint, it's still by the flesh. The third way of life is to live by the Spirit of God, and the introduction to this is to understand the nature of the inheritance that we have received and how to live with what we have instead of trying to live a holy and righteous and obedient life in order to get something from God. We live with what we have been given by God. Now, where this begins, where this all starts, is it starts with the issue of forgiveness. That's where it begins. Now, at the end of the previous program, I ended the previous program talking about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being something that we received. And this is important, but what's also important to understand is that forgiveness is necessary in order to receive and retain the Holy Spirit of God. For example, I was explaining from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." This is the first thing you receive in Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit of promise, according to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, because you believe. This is also conveyed, and I express this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who has been given to us because we heard the word of truth, we embraced the gospel, we believed, we became spiritually alive through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we will then be able to know the things that he has freely given to us, not just his Spirit, but additional things that he has given. And this is understood as an inheritance that has been given to us so that we may live our lives with what we have. For this to be possible, for the Holy Spirit to be given to us in a way that it will remain within us, for this to be possible, he had to resolve the subject of sin. God had to resolve the sin issue, the sin topic. The entire sin of the world was resolved by him when he died on the cross. When he manifested in the flesh, dwelt among us as the Lord Jesus, and he died on the cross, that was his way of asserting that the topic of sin, the issue of sin, the sins of the world are going to be forgiven and they will be remembered no more. That the topic of sin would come to an end. This was necessary so that when he restores the Holy Spirit to us, when he gives the Spirit of God, when he gives his Spirit to dwell within us, this is what makes us spiritually alive, because his Spirit is the Spirit of life. When he does this, in accordance with the law, this Spirit would depart the next time we sin. But because of forgiveness, the forgiveness he executed through the crucifixion, there is no sin that has been left unforgiven that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from within us. So the life that we get is an eternal life. It is an everlasting life. It's a life that will remain within us. And I've talked about this in a number of places. I've done programs specifically on the subject of the gospel, and I've mentioned this in a number of other broadcasts, and so I'm not going to try to get into it in detail here because I'm trying to talk about a different subject, the subject of the inheritance. But it's forgiveness that makes this possible, because if he did not forgive all sins, then the next time you did one of those sins he did not forgive, when you do that, then the Holy Spirit is going to depart from within you, and you need his Spirit within you so that you can understand and know all that you have been given by him, so that you may make use of what you have been given by him to live your life, to build your life, to experience the life in Christ that he has given to you. And so forgiveness is what makes this possible. So to begin with, you must understand that you have forgiveness. And the scriptures are littered with all kinds of examples that will show you that you have forgiveness. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." These are just a couple of examples that in him we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is something that we have because he decided to forgive all sins. When I confront people about this and ask them, "Do you believe that God died for the sins of the world?" People will normally say, "Of course, I believe that." "Do you believe that God died for all sins, past, present, and future?" People will respond with, "Of course, I believe that." That's not the problem. The problem is all the other things, all the additional things that people believe that contradicts this fact. And there is a lot that people believe and teach in Christianity that suggests that the sin issue is not over. And it's these additional things that people teach and believe that prevents people from truly embracing what they have in Christ, what they have in their inheritance, the forgiveness of sins. And when you cannot make it past this, and this is the important point that I want you to embrace from this program, when you do not embrace the complete forgiveness of sins, you will not ever be able to embrace and rest in the inheritance that you have been given. Again, if you do not embrace the complete forgiveness of sins, you will never be able to embrace, live in, and build your life with the inheritance that you have been given. You're never going to be able to do that because it is forgiveness that makes the inheritance and all parts of the inheritance possible. Salvation is the first example. You cannot receive and retain the Holy Spirit of God within you without the sin issue being over. That is not possible. And so it is for all other parts of the inheritance that we have. I'm only beginning with that one. Now, I did produce a series on the topic of forgiveness. The first two programs were designed to address the subject of the gospel as well. You can hear the gospel in detail in those first two programs in the series I did on forgiveness. And then the programs after that, up until the last one, the programs after that were recorded for the purpose of dealing with all these extra barriers, all of these extra things, not all of them, but most of them, most of the extra things that people tend to believe that prevent them from embracing the complete forgiveness that they have, the most common examples. And then in the last program, I give an example of what you can do in terms of forgiveness, what you can experience in your life with forgiveness if you will believe that you are forgiven. If you will believe that you are forgiven and you will embrace and receive the forgiveness that He has for you, I give an example of how you can forgive others with the forgiveness that you have received. The last program was recorded for that purpose, to show you an application of what it can mean in your life if you will receive the forgiveness that He has truly given to you. And in this program, I can describe this as an example of inheritance. You have been given forgiveness so that you can live your life with the forgiveness that you have. And forgiving others is a very profound and incredible means by which you can build your life and live your life and sustain your life and enjoy your life. We are surrounded by lots of opportunities. We can experience many opportunities of violations towards us being a part of this world, where we will have numerous opportunities to be able to forgive others with the forgiveness that we have received from God. And this is a good thing. And this enables us to live our lives in Christ here in this world, and will also contribute to our ability to live our life in eternity. To be able to forgive others with the forgiveness that we have received is a fantastic example of how we have received something from God as a result of His death, a description of His inheritance, so that we may experience that for ourselves and use that as a part of building our lives in Christ Jesus, a way of living with the inheritance that we have been given as children of God, beneficiaries of our Heavenly Father in terms of what He has given to us. And so that last program in the series on forgiveness is an example of applying the inheritance. If you are not familiar with these programs, I would like to strongly encourage you to take a break from this series on the will of God and go listen to those programs before you go to the next programs, because those programs on forgiveness are very important to be able to really appreciate and embrace the additional things that you have received as a result of His death, and how you may be able to live in those and use those in your daily life, Otherwise, you're never going to be able to truly appreciate and receive things like the acceptance of God. How are you going to be accepted by God when you're not resting in the complete forgiveness of sins? You're not going to be able to do that. How are you going to be able to live in the peace of God if He still holds your sins against you? You're not going to be able to experience that and incorporate that into your life and build your life with it. You're not going to be able to understand and appreciate acceptance, peace, or anything else that you have been given. And I will continue with this subject in the next program. Thank you for listening. This program is the third program in the series produced on The Will of God, where I spent a little bit more time talking about the physical inheritance a person can receive and how that may be used in order to build their life. And I used this in order to explain that we have received a spiritual inheritance, and that this inheritance that we have received in Christ is to be used to build our spiritual lives. I used the example of forgiveness in order to forgive others with the forgiveness that we have received. And I explained how forgiveness is necessary so that the other parts of the inheritance that has been given can be received. For example, we can receive the Holy Spirit of God, we can receive the peace of God, we can receive the acceptance of God because we have forgiveness, and that it is very important to embrace the complete forgiveness of sins to receive, appreciate, and make use of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.